Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Instance, episode 604. It's June 9th, 2020. I'm Scott Johnson with Garen Weinzierpel. Hi, Garen. How are you without the tease?
If anyone would like to actually follow me, it's Garrett. I'm doing all right, Scott. How are you doing?
That's what I get when I have a big lunch right before the show. I shouldn't do that. It makes me logy and tired.
I had a lovely, and I know this is what people are showing up for. I made an egg sandwich on an English muffin.
Oh, Lord.
Sounds all right. I just had like some lame-ass cereal when I actually got up today, and so it was lunchtime. I'm like, I'm going to make a proper breakfast but have it for lunch because I'm an adult and I can do what I want.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'll tell you another adult who's with us. He's adulting hard. It's Patrick Beja all the way from Finland. Hello, Patrick.
Oh, I am such an adult. I have a child. I live in a house in the countryside. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I never thought I would get here. Thank you.
You're also standing today, which is... Is this new for you? Did you just get a standing arrangement?
There? Oh, no. I've had it for a long time. Oh. But I usually use my standing desk. You know, it's like you can move it.
Oh, so, yeah.
Look at this.
Oh, watch this, you guys. This...
Oh, you want to play that game?
Wait. I could do this too, you know. Oh, I don't want to. It's too far to reach. Whoa. You're disappearing into the abyss.
Doing it better than me.
I also What's have up? One of those, but my What's problem up? Is What's I got a, I have a mark on this mark arm that will block it, and it'll all get effed up if I push it. So I'm not doing it. I'm
just That's probably that would be a good idea. But yeah, I use it sometimes.
I'm from the makers of Garen.
Yeah, no doubt.
The thing is, you're supposed to like alternate every hour or so between sitting and standing.
Yeah.
And I'm too lazy, so I just set it, and then for like 5 hours. It doesn't serve its purpose.
You set it and forget it. Yeah, set and forget it. I like that phrase. It's a good one. Well, I'm happy to have both of you here. Whether you stand, whether you sit, that's all that matters is that you're functionally here and available as adults.
And to speak into a microphone.
That's right. So we can talk about this stuff. All right, let's talk a little about World of Warcraft. Before we get into this little bit of news we got this week, I'm curious how your game time has gone, because I ran into a little bit of a problem. It's no shock to anybody to hear that we're having a little bit of unrest here in the United States, a lot actually, and actually quite a few shows of solidarity around the world, big groups doing big things in lots of places. And it's really, really distracting, or it feels like it's so ever-present that it's kind of hard to do much else. But I have found that my little plan of being sort of bored with current WoW endgame and playing alts and leveling them through old content has been really cathartic, partially because it's just fun and cathartic anyway. But secondly, it's a great thing that I can just have going. We always forget this about WoW, or maybe we don't, but some people may forget how great WoW has always been at being the thing I can do while something else is going on. So I can focus on a TV show I'm catching up on and still play World of Warcraft. I can listen to the news or hear something my wife has to say or have a conversation with one of my kids and still play World of Warcraft without being incredibly unfocused and or distracted by said game. So that's what I've been doing, and it's been nice. I really like it. Like, I like that reminder that game can be that thing for me. I don't have to be so focused on it that I feel like I'm, you know, messing up on other stuff I should be giving my focus to. And it's been really helpful for me in a very mental way. I have improved my week, about the last week and a half since I talked to you guys. So I'm curious what we're all doing. Patrick, what are you doing in that game right now? Are you doing anything in World of Warcraft? And if you are, Does it help you the way it's helping me?
It is not, because I am not.
Oh, man. Dang it.
You know, I still want at some point to get the achievement, the Pathfinder achievement. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, I'm almost there. I have like Rust Belt resistance, a reputation that I need, and maybe one other thing. But I was just like, I don't know, I stopped playing for some reason. So no, also our issues aren't as, you know, it's a little bit more present for you guys.
Oh yeah.
So here it's getting to summer, and not that I'm going out, but I'm right. enjoying the thought that I'm enjoying summer.
Yeah. A little bit of sun won't hurt. But so you were, last I checked in with you, you had kind of gotten a resurgence happening. You were playing like crazy. It was a while. Yep. It was a few weeks ago.
A few weeks, yeah.
And what was there anything that just suddenly you just went, okay, I've hit a wall, or did some other game distract you? Like, I'm just curious scientifically.
No, it's weird.
What happened.
I think it's like my goal was definitely the you know, the achievement. And I did like 90% of the work, to the point that I thought now it's gonna be relatively easy. I figured it out. And then I lost interest a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, oh, okay, I've basically done it. I haven't, but it's almost as if I had,
yeah.
Which is pretty awesome as a, like, thought gymnastics, like, for anything. Like, just, you don't need to do it. Just think that you almost have, and then you can stop. Mm. It's great to achieve stuff in your life. Yeah. And that's where what happened. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can we record a variant of the intro of the show that says the instance of World of Warcraft podcast so Patrick doesn't have to?
I probably have that around here somewhere.
You slip it in like at random, like three times a year, just so people are driving, they just, you know, spew coffee all over their windshield.
Well, there are definitely times where, I mean, right before all of this, sort of before the protests, I was kind of on a downswing, but I was playing here and there. The protests were like enough to make me have less interest in a lot of other games that might otherwise attract my attention. Like, I'm actually seriously interested in the new expansion for Elder Scrolls Online, but I also know that because of how story heavy it is, it's going to be a thing I'm going to want to really pay attention to. And so I'm holding off. I'm going to hold off on that because I feel like I don't have the focus. Whereas this just let me semi-focus. Garrett, I know you're in a lot. What are you doing?
Yeah, this is beyond loaded to think about, because it's like, I guess folks at home, this is just three friends just talking about, we're just being honest with each other. We're not trying to over-personalize how the very, very sad and insular ways that the shitstorm that is currently going down in America, I think for good reason, yeah. Is affecting us as gamers.
Right.
So that being said, I'd like to now start talking to my friends. I'm with you, Scott. I'm feeling very much the same way. To me, it feels like my need to be active in trying to signal boost things that I think are important has kind of eaten into my desire to be competitive.
Mm.
So my game time is down in things like Heroes of the Storm Draft and Hearthstone Ladder, but my game time is up in things like leveling Ultimate World of Warcraft and Animal Crossing, these things that kind of put me at ease, and are kind of like a vacation from thinking and competing and fighting.
That's interesting, because I hadn't really thought about it, but you bring up a great point. Those other games are all about competition, and the ones I want to get, the games that attract me at the moment aren't things that are competitive. Normally, I'm kind of into that as well, but I've been playing a lot of cooperative Deep Rock Galactic with some friends. That game's great and also chill. Some would say it isn't because there's spiders and caves, but it's still pretty chill. Animal Crossing every day, and then World of Warcraft has been kind of the triumvirate. And it's like, here's my social gaming that's also super chill. Here's my sitting on the couch trying to de-res, and I'm playing Animal Crossing and I'm selling fruit. That's as chill as you can get. And then when I'm down here, like, you know what I'm in the mood for? Old episodes of like Bewitched. So I'm going to put that on the TV and I'm going to just sit there and binge on those while I go and level up a dwarf hunter. There's been real catharsis in that. and real escape for me in that, whereas I'm not finding that in other stuff. And I mean all forms of other things. Like, I can't really watch a movie right now because it feels a little weird. And some people are going to hear us having this conversation between friends, Garrett, as you mentioned it, and they're going to immediately think, uh-oh, the show's going to get political and pick sides and do stuff. We're not essentially we're not doing that. All we're saying is the stuff affects your life. I'm curious what other players are doing right now. I've talked to some who used to be two nights a week raid hardcore, and right now their raid teams are sitting it out because this is all a little too much for them, and it doesn't feel right for them to be playing that kind of, like, almost bang your head against the wall, frustrated, mythic level raiding during a time where you're trying to escape with your hobbies, not make your life more stressful. So I think there's a little bit of self-care going on. I think that's probably good. Nothing wrong with it. And WoW for me just is there for me in that regard, and always has been. Whenever things have been a little bit weird, it's been a great escape for me. I remember when I was, what year that was, my daughter was 12, and she started having these things doctors called focal seizures, which was like seizures, but they were happening, and she would stay awake. She wouldn't actually be knocked out by them. So she would actually experience them, feel them, but they were a lot like grand mal seizures. She couldn't control them, and she would go temporarily blind during them. It was an awful, scary thing for her as a young 12-year-old, obviously, but for her parents, we were freaking out. And doctors are like, well, put her on this medicine, but she'll probably never have kids if you do, because this medicine will do this or that.
Oh my God.
And yeah, it was awful stuff. And at the time I was like, well, hold on, we can manage this, right? Because if we're with her and she is awake, it's different than grand mal seizures where people black out while they're driving. She's 12. She's with us a lot anyway, other than at school. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, well, we're going to try to manage it maybe instead of making that huge, disgusting choice for her future all at once. So anyway, not really my point, but the point is, during that time, I remember feeling pretty hopeless and helpless about a lot of things that I couldn't control, which is not that different than this. And at least with this, I have some voice, I have some platform, so I can discuss it, talk about it, make a difference, that sort of thing. But then it was like, well, just me and Kim trying to make sure she doesn't hurt herself and that this doesn't get worse. And their theory was that she would be over them by the time sort of puberty fully kicked in. And that it wasn't that uncommon, especially for girls at that age, 12 and 13. So we went with that hypothesis, and it turns out it was the right one. They did stop by the time she was 14. She's never had one since. She's since had a baby a year and a half ago, so I'm super glad we didn't do the drugs. And the point is that during that time, Warcraft was a safe haven for me. It was this game where I could just forget all that other stuff and not truly forget it, but put it aside for a second and escape into this place while everybody else went to sleep. I could play World of Warcraft and I could enjoy the fantasy of it. I could enjoy the progression of it and not feel pressured, not feel like I had to do something. I could just be there and be in that world and do my stuff. And that was a really helpful thing for me then. It kind of helped. I mean, it was a major part of me getting through it. So, and this show was going then, by the way. I probably talked about it on the show back in 2010, I guess, or 20, whatever it was. It probably came up, but anyway, I don't know why I shared that whole thing other than to say, I think that it's important sometimes to at least acknowledge.
Escapism helps.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
That's the point. Yeah. And WoW is great escapism.
Yeah. WoW is a great escape. It's the great escape, like the movie. And we all need it. We could all use it right now. So I hope other people are getting that out of the game. Some people may not be. I don't know. Maybe video games in general are just like off the table for some people. I'm sure there are people like that.
Probably depends on, you know, yeah. I think it just kind of depends on you and what, like, maybe some people might be listening to this and be like, Garrett, you're stressed out, but you're getting away from competitive games. That's crazy. That's the number one thing that kind of helps me level. Like, maybe, who knows? Mm-hmm. I think everyone's a little bit different, but I get where you're coming from, Scott. It's like, like the three of us really like couldn't be like, we're three white dudes, mm-hmm. Right? Like this, we are in an extreme place of privilege, in regards to what's going on right now. So our brains, I think, are very naturally going to go to, well, what was a time in my life where it was extremely tumultuous, or I felt challenged or hopeless or whatever. And you start to think about what gives you comfort. And I think if you're listening to this show, that the answer to that has probably been wow at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense. I don't know. My brain's been going there a lot. You reposted Tom's DTNS special.
Oh yeah, on the show last week, yeah.
And so did I. And if you went and listened to it over where I reposted it on the Angry Chicken channel, you'll hear me say that it's easy to feel like talking about video games is about the dumbest, most least important thing in the world right now. But I hope at the very least, if you need a recharge, that's what we're providing for you, mm-hmm. so that you can go out and affect the change that you know needs to be made in the world. And that's just, I don't know, I've been thinking about it a lot lately. I was trying not to get too philosophical here, but here we are.
No, it's okay. This show can do that once in a while. You know, never hurts.
I may. Tom's DTNS was great. If you're interested in that kind of thing, I also did a conversation with a gentleman named Gunner on the Phileas Club, who was born in Minneapolis, lives there now, and tells us about, you know, context of all of this and his experiences. And so when I say, oh, in earlier in our conversation, I was like, oh, it doesn't really affect us, and I'm far from this. Obviously, it's not true. You hear about it all the time. It's very present. It is something that we're very, I don't know, aware of, and
sure,
just don't want people to get the idea that, oh, they haven't heard about it over in Europe.
Yeah.
We have. It's impossible.
Plus, you guys keep having rallies that are like, oh my Lord, that's like 10,000 people in that square, or, you know, stuff like that. They're just like these solidarity rallies, and it's super cool to see. And also, hey, guess what? Racism doesn't have borders. We have our own special intensity at the moment, but there's plenty of it out there. So, yeah, hard to avoid all this stuff. And I think it's okay to feel a little overwhelmed by it. It's okay to feel like it couldn't have come at a worse time, or you know, this particular uptick couldn't have happened at a worse time with COVID-19 floating around. These are all truths. It's okay to hold those truths in your head at the same time, but give yourself a break and level a dwarf hunter. I'm telling you, there's catharsis in there. There's a way to escape or play endgame. That's fine. It's just not doing it for me. And also thanks everybody who sent in the nice comments about us reposting Tom's show. We take no credit for it. Neither does Tom, for that matter. It's those who were on it that I think deserve the credit. And we were happy to showcase those voices here. Only got one dissenting email. Everybody else seemed pretty happy with it. In fact, lots and lots of comments that made people happy. There's maybe somebody who didn't like it, who didn't write in. And to them, I say, I don't know what I can do for you. But thank you for letting us do that little break and talk about something maybe a little bit more important than the stuff we're about to talk about now. All right? That's how it's going to go. All right, so check this out. There was supposed to be a Shadowlands reveal event today. Today was the day. But they postponed it. I think they were right to do it. They said this. More important voices than ours need to be heard. Now was not the time. Now is the time to listen. We are postponing our upcoming World of Warcraft Shadowlands stream planned for June 9th, and we'll share more details about the expansion in the future. I think it was the right call. I can't wait to hear what it's about and what the reveals are going to show. They do say on the site, the original posting said it would be a simulcast stream live with World of Warcraft executive producer John Haidt and game director Ian Hazzikostas. They'll share more about the upcoming Shadowlands expansion with a look at some of the newest content in development. A little vague, but I would assume that there's some surprises in there, and we'll probably hear about it sooner than let's see if they updated it. No, still no update on when, but not today, as you may have guessed.
Just have to wait for someone to leak it. Like the Sony announcement.
Yes. It was for today at 9 a.m. Pacific, so it would have been 10 a.m. my time. So we would have all known about this, and we'd have had a whole boatload of...
Would have been a scramble of the day for the show, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it'll happen eventually.
Yeah, we'll get it. Don't worry.
I'm kind of curious what they've got to share. Like, I feel like we know so damn much about Shadowlands already. So I have to imagine. I bet it's a release date.
I kind of get, okay, so that's possible. I thought about that, but I also was thinking, is there anything they haven't talked about yet that we don't know about? I mean, all the major features we know about. We know about Torghast. We know about the Covenant system. We know about everything that that we know so far about zones and how that's all going to work. The only thing I could think of was either, like you say, a release date, possibly big spoiler drop of story, or not spoiler, story drops of some sort. They did put up a new short story thing on the site, which I don't have in the notes today because it just happened yesterday. But I mean, maybe that was to feed into that. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what a big reveal would be at this point that they haven't at least already talked about, if not already detailed.
Yeah, my brain keeps wandering back to like BC Classic, but this is specifically labeled as a Shadowlands event.
Yeah. It's impossible for us to know until they do it, I guess. So no news yet. We'll find out soon. I have a feeling we'll get it pretty quick, given that things, you know, things on the front as to why they delayed it have shown that we're moving more toward nothing but peaceful protests. There's been progress in that regard. And so, heck, in my city where we had looting and awful stuff the first day, they had one over the weekend. It was just as packed or more packed, and there were barely a police or a police officer to be found. It was mostly traffic cops just keeping traffic moving in certain parts of the city. So I have a feeling that as we move closer to this being a continued movement, not really fizzling out, but we're going to see less and less of a police presence and less reason to, or more, let's say more and more reason to be optimistic and say, okay, hey, we're Sony. We got PlayStation 5 to announce. We're going to go ahead and do our thing, which I guess got rescheduled for Thursday this week or Friday, something like that.
Yeah.
So that's another example. A bunch of stuff like this got pushed, but yes, Patrick.
But I'm sure someone will think about it, and rightly so. Do we want to comment on the difference between the how they voiced it in this case against how they didn't with, you know, how they handled the BlizzChung thing?
Well, so
Blizzard specifically hasn't put out a statement. The only statement that's put out was specifically by the Activision Blizzard account.
Yeah,
sure, but it's about Shadowlands, so it is a Blizzard thing, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree.
The delay of
they just
have the delay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Fair. The delay came from the Blizzard account, but here's the thing: I don't think this is such a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Everybody from Riot, who's a wholly owned, you know, subsidiary of Tencent in China, they did a big announcement and did a bunch of funding plans and stuff. And as far as I know, they were never too soft on the Hong Kong stuff. I don't actually know that. I shouldn't say because I don't know. I don't remember how Riot did.
I mean, it's irrelevant in regards to Blizzard because it's like Blizzard got themselves in the situation that they did because of their actions against BlizzChung. There's no universe where they don't get called hypocrites.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think we don't need to talk about it more than that, but just not mentioning it at all would have been a bit weird. But I think that I think that's a lot of like seeing it like I know we can explain and we probably could like rationalize it, but that the way you're putting it completely makes sense and it's completely legitimate for a lot of people to have that view. But
mm-hmm. I mean, I'd like to add, you know, because I'm just at this point throwing any attempt at not letting my personal opinions through. I'm kind of just putting them to the side for right now because I'm pretty fired up about everything that's going on. I'd like to add that they can be called hypocrites either way. So I would rather see a more direct comment by them than this extremely.
Yeah. That's my take. That's my take. Yeah.
Statement.
That's my take as well. Not that statements solve everything, but more than just a tweet from the WoW dev team saying their thing got delayed because there hasn't really been anything else. And I know it's easy for people to go, you didn't say something, cancel that company.
And to be fair, the three of us are always going to be pretty biased in this regards. And I'll be happy to point out my bias to everybody. And I want to say we discussed this during the BlizzChung thing, but all three of us know a lot of people that work at Blizzard personally and have made friends with Blizzard employees over the many years that we've done this type of content. And so I know, you know, talking to my buddies at Blizzard where their hearts lie. And I see a lot of good, a lot of activism and outreach by individuals at Blizzard. And I would just like to see a little bit more of that reflected in the corporate side of things.
Yeah, the individual people that I know that I talked to, none of them were cool with what happened in Hong Kong. None of them were cool with the Blitzchung situation. But I don't know where that line is.
I'm more talking about the discussion we're currently having on race and police brutality.
Sure, sure. But that's my point, though. Like, that issue, this issue, I don't know why Blizzard's quiet about it. I kind of wish they weren't so quiet about it. It's easy to speculate why they're so quiet about it, but I don't know why they are.
And it's easy for me to say that because I don't have to act on it. I don't have to figure out what the right way to send that, you know, make that messaging is. Mm-hmm. I would just like to see, I don't know, something a little more substantial.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. That'd be all right. And I also, yeah, the damned if you do, damned if you don't holds. It doesn't matter who says it. Like the minute I said.
Yeah, the thing is, it's more of a, once they made that decision with Blitzchung, which I completely understand, and I understand why they had to make that decision. And it's not like, you know, it is impossible once you've gone through that to not then be, you know, called out, even though, again, in this situation, I think you can explain it. There are a lot of reasons why they're doing it like this. I think just like any other big company, putting out a tweet is not enough. And it's been done so many times. At some point, you're like, okay, another tweet. Do you actually want to do something? Or I'll just say this and then I'll shut up. Interestingly, the commitment from Activision is something that is a little bit more significant, I think. They have added to Warzone and Call of Duty, the latest one, screens before loading, during game loading, that have a whole spiel on, on the whole issue. Mm-hmm. They've also committed to, you know, doing more to curb racist comments and stuff like that in the game. My point is,
have you played it, man? Every loading screen says Black Lives Matter in giant bold font in Call of Duty right now. I played a ton with my friends over the weekend, and we were just like,
some
people are
going to
get triggered in here. And
of course, like, but that, and that means it is something that they can do. And I think, you know, we can discuss how much they could do more. I'm sure they give money and stuff like that, but it is, they're not going to, you know, fix racism. Like, what they should do is fix racism. Okay.
No, that's not what I was saying.
Exactly. And... No, I agree. But what they are doing, I think, is to the roughly what they can do. And they're kind of doing it in this context. There are more things they could do. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's not. Yeah.
Here's my big final takeaway with all of that. What I would rather see, not rather see, I think that's good what they're doing. That's great. They should do that. Activision should also, and maybe they are doing this. It'd be great. It'd be cool if they told us if they were, but are they doing internal reviews? Are they double checking how they do hiring processes? Are they making sure that they are doing all they can to have equality in both pay and opportunity and within their ranks? Like, those kinds of things matter to me more because that's on the ground with real flesh and blood people. Whereas messaging is messaging and messaging matters, and that's important. I don't want to discount it. But what are they doing in the lives of the people that work there or who may work there one day? What does that environment look like? That I'd like to see, you know, more transparency on. And it's on them to do it or not. I'm not saying they have to, you know, that's part of the world we live in, is they don't have to do anything. But that would be cool if them as the parent company and Blizzard as a large important subsidiary of Activision could show some of that. That would be probably good.
I mean, the irony is that there are very few other companies other than Blizzard that are as progressive as, you know, in the gaming space. They have been very active about, if it wasn't for the Blitzchung thing, everyone who is angry at Blizzard for social issues would be angry because they're social justice warriors. Mm-hmm. You know, they're inclusive. They have, I don't know, actually, I, you know, it, at least what we see from people there, they're very sexual orientation friendly. Race, I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of, you know, non-white people over there, even on social media and stuff like that. Maybe there are. but things like Overwatch are a statement. And it's interesting that they're in this regard, basically they didn't adhere to that image, I feel, on the Blitzchung thing. But if, aside from that, they are very progressive. I don't know if it's enough, but compared to the median of all companies and in the gaming space, I feel like they were quicker to take that kind of route and to show that kind of inclusiveness. Mm-hmm. So when you're saying, you know, oh, are they doing reviews and making sure, blah, 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 I don't know how much it happens at Blizzard, but at least the public-facing aspect, not the corporate communication, but all of the employees talking, it like they are very inclusive in that. It, at least, I guess it's what I've seen is mostly sexual orientation inclusive. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the race thing, but it's weird that we're... Mm.
I think you touched on basically everything I was thinking of, which was, as far as I'm like, my concern, my experience with Blizzard is it's an extremely diverse studio. But still, I don't know. This is, at the end of the day, this is a big thing about like, I see the connection to Blitzchung. I understand it. And I just still have personal feelings that are difficult for me not to express.
It's hard not to see some of this through that lens. It's just, that's just what we're coming off of that. Like that would still be a gigantic controversial conversation if there were room for lesser scandals at the moment.
I mean, when Activision Blizzard put out their statement, this was not the one pushing Shadowlands back, but they pretty early on, I want to say it was the day after Sony pushed their thing. It was just a general statement of support for Black Lives Matter. Like I won't out my buddy, but one of my buddies like immediately texted me and was like, do they get to have both this and Blitzchung? And that's when I was like, well, this is more of an Activision account, but the fact that that was like a text that I got within minutes of that going up, I'm like, well, if you're having that thought, I'm sure a lot of other people are.
I pretty much guarantee it. And they're also having that thought at their desks at home these days, because, you know, they're still not, Blizzard Central is not a place people are working at the moment. So a lot of this thought and feeling and stuff is affected by that. I don't know. It's just a mess. Anyway, we'll see what they do. Also, regarding the event, we'll let you guys know when that happens. Keep an eye on our Twitter account if you want to see more. I might do a simul stream or something. We just have to find out when it is and if it can be done or not and doesn't interfere with another show schedule. So we'll let you know. All right, Patrick, I have a message for you, sir. Are you ready for your message?
Wait a second. Okay.
You're ready now? Okay. Here's a statement that you should be interested in. This is from the Blizzard forums. This is regarding Fire Mages. So it's you and all the other Fire Mages out there. Listen closely. We want to make Ignite spread something that the player has agency over, and first experimented with past system of making Fire Blast spread it. However, because of the importance of using Fire Blast for Hot Streak very frequently, we've seen feedback that this creates a lot of tension and still makes it difficult to control when you don't want to ignite the spread of your fire. In the next alpha build, we're going to try letting Phoenix Flames fill this role. As a baseline spell for Fire Mages, this gives Phoenix Flames a unique function and identity as a core spell, as well as allowing for more choice over when to spread Ignite. If we continue with the change, we'll look into a new talent to replace Phoenix Flames in an upcoming build. Patrick, does this assuage all of your dirty feelings for how Fire Mages aren't as fun as they used to be? Or do you don't care?
Honestly, I'm sure many people are going to be very angry at me for saying this, but I've never really understood the difference between Fire Blast and Phoenix Rage. What is it?
Phoenix Flame, right?
I just use them kind of interchangeably, mm-hmm. almost. Yeah. And I'm sure there's a good reason to use one or the other, but I just lost all credibility as a player.
Well, I mean, okay, when does it matter the most? Raiding and PvP, right? So if you're not doing either of those, it's just a thing you click when its cooldown is up.
Thank you.
Right? That's
fine. It matters a little if you're complaining about leveling as a certain spec.
that's a good point. That's a good point. You start getting beat
by playing, not leveling.
Yeah, if you start getting beat by, you know, I don't know, stuff that you shouldn't be.
Listen, if a gnoll is killing you because you don't know how your shit works, that's on you.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But I mean, I'd laugh. But like, I didn't, man.
If I reverse into my neighbor's mailbox, that's on me. That's not on the Ford.
But the thing is, the whole concept around a fire mage is the sustaining of fire damage, and that's fire damage over time. I mean, your class is basically trying to create a nonstop dot with some spiked spiky damage. But the whole idea is like everything's on fire. Now you're still on fire. Okay, how about a little more fire? How about I do this one thing that keeps the fire going? Like, that's the whole job. So to me, even on the face of this as not a regular mage player, this sounds like a nice improvement. So we'll see how it goes.
Has anyone else here gone back into the alpha, seen the updated Torghast, or checked out Ardenweald?
Nay, I have not launched it first run in Torghast.
So
I know,
good.
I know.
It's
I need to do
so
it.
Good. Ardenweald is beautiful. Holy shit.
I saw the preview. The preview looked real good.
You like me. Yeah. Think Bastion is a little boring.
Yeah.
Oh, Ardenweald, man, it is gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks nice. It looks like basically, what if the Night Elves decided to also be kind of weird?
Have orgies with nature, and that would be Ardenweald would be their offspring.
Yeah, basically, right?
It's just hedonism bot from Futurama is going to come through like, oh, yes.
I love this place. Yeah, exactly.
Someone get the cherries.
I love Hedonism Bot. I didn't know we shared a love for that stupid robot. That's great to know.
It's amazing. Torghast now basically looks finished to me, considering how many like untextured things there were before. Like,
are all classes in there now, or are we still missing a couple that can play?
I don't know. I don't know. The only thing I've tried since we last spoke was Rogue, because I've been leveling the alt. I'm really liking it, and I'm starting to think to myself, do I want to go rogue?
Ooh.
So I took rogue through on a run and had a lot of fun, which also sent me down the rabbit hole of looking into subtlety, which I am definitely not an authority on because I have never played a rogue at max level. It's like the perpetual alt I never finish.
Yeah.
But subtlety is getting a bunch of old stuff back and like baseline spells. Across all specs and all that stuff, and there's some cool stuff in subtlety. So I did a Torghast run of subtlety and had a blast. So I am feeling the call of the shadows, y'all.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. I mean, even in the state I played it in, I need to get back in there and fiddle, but it's cool, man. It's very, very cool. Oh, all classes are in now. I just found it. Yep.
Oh, sweet.
So everybody can try it.
I need to go play Paladin.
Well, and then that means that thing's as close to being. We're now in like polish mode, and that's good. That's good to know. Hope it sticks, man. I hope that thing lands with just like the most awesome possible functionality when it launches. Maybe this reveal will be them going, you know what? There's been such great feedback that Torghast is now the entire expansion.
I feel like that would get a little one note, just a little bit.
A little bit.
Little tiny bit, but it's good. But the zones are good. The zones are amazing, man. Like, I know we're both like a little like iffy on Bastion. Bastion gets significantly more interesting when you play further into it, and the other two zones are freaking incredible so far.
Bastion's story is awesome. Bastion's zone is boring. It's like a half done Tron level. I don't like it.
Yeah, just keep going. Keep going.
All right, I'll keep going.
Things clash.
Definitely going to be in there at some point. The question is, how much of that do I want to test versus how much of that I want to see on day one?
It's not all that one plant from Gladiator, okay? I know the first half is basically all that one plant from Gladiator that you want to run your hand through.
Yeah.
But it switches up.
I do want to run my hand through that wheat in Gladiator when he does.
Hey, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
That's Bastion.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was the art direction for Bastion. They put up, they had like a mood board, and they put up just a screenshot of wheat.
Well, it's very, it's very ancient Greece. It's very, they're totally going for that vibe and having all that wheat everywhere. Oh my gosh, I got to tell you guys something that cracked me up. I didn't even realize. This is unrelated to World of Warcraft. If anything, it's related to Diablo and, of course, Heroes of the Storm. But Zul in Diablo, or excuse me, in Heroes of the Storm, a necromancer from the Diablo world, has a skin. And you can probably laugh at me thinking, Scott, we all knew this. I didn't know this. Okay, so I'm just telling you my ignorance kicked in today. I was watching that nonstop 24-hour Hasbro stream of G.I. Joe episodes constantly, just on all the time. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I would come home from school and immediately plant my butt in front of G.I. Joe when I was younger, and I loved it. So anyway, I've been doing that. And right in the middle of it, I realize, oh my gosh, Serpentor, which is like the ultimate, they basically create a god that now runs all of the Cobra terrorist group. Serpentor, he shows up after he's created.
Oh my god, you're totally right.
He's just in like a robe, and then later he puts on his clothes, which is like a big snake head over his head and a bunch of snaky shit all over him. And I went, that's the Zool skin where he's got the snake and he's got the thing he rides. He's got one of those too, like a sky scooter he shoots around in. It looks just like the one Zool has. I mean, there are differences, but I figured it out. Somebody at Blizzard was like a huge G.I. Joe fan and made a Serpentor skin for freaking Zool, and it never occurred to me. Amazing.
Anyway. I, too, used to watch a bunch of G.I. Joe and completely forgot about Serpentor's existence, so this never occurred to me.
He sucks. He's a terrible villain, but I had a lot of fun watching that today.
There's a lot of pop culture from my childhood that still sticks with me, and that I'm still very passionate about. Things like Ninja Turtles and Gargoyles comes to mind.
Yeah,
Gargoyles. G.I. Joe did not stick.
Well, G.I. Joe, you would have come in late, right? Because it started when I was in junior high.
Oh, yeah, it was in full-on like syndication, just random, you know, reruns wherever the hell whoever currently had a license to rerun.
And I knew it was ridiculous from the day I saw the first one. It didn't matter how young I was or how old I am now. I know it's the stupidest thing on the planet, but man, do I get into it. It's so dumb.
Also, anyway. Like I'll hit you with the tweet right now. Scott, do you really think that G.I. Joe didn't inspire a ton of the artists at Blizzard?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Just look at it.
See, that's what hit me is I realized, oh yeah, that's where 90% of this is coming from. Like some of these ideas they have for superhero costumes for these heroes and some of their different skins, like these guys are going back to their cartoon Saturday lifestyles and just saying, hey, what weird thing do we like? Hey, what about Voltron? That'd be cool. What if we made, you know, Tassadar look like Voltron or look like a Transformer? Or what if we did this or that? And this is just a case that just flipped past me. I thought, well, what's this about? This is weird. Why is Zool dressed up like that? Anyway, I guess he likes, hates snakes. And then I moved on. But then I saw Serpentor and it all made sense. Patrick, does any of this make sense? I mean, you guys brought the Smurfs to us. Did we bring G.I. Joe to you?
Kind of, but it was always...
terrible?
I mean, it's so American. It's so bad. It is so American.
Yeah.
You know, I think now the G.I. Joe movie is kind of acceptable in that respect. It's no, you know, when they managed to make Captain America feel relatable to any... country in the world, mm-hmm. even though it's still very American, it was like how can you do it? But mm-hmm. they managed.
They somehow figured it out. Yeah.
G.I. Joe is American to a point that is difficult to explain. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you understand, but even however much you think how American it is, it's even more American to us.
Oh, like it's ridiculous.
The amount.
Yeah.
The like. And I don't mean to get back to what we were talking about earlier, I promise. But you don't realize how much gun culture is American.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, here's the problem. Back then, nobody in G.I. Joe actually shot each other. No one ever got hit. And it was all laser guns that don't exist.
Yeah, but it's, of course.
Yeah. So we were, as kids, we were like, yeah, guns. Cool.
We watched it really, too. I don't want to make it seem like we weren't watching it.
That your favorite... Your favorite game, Overwatch, is like basically a sequel to G.I. Joe. Like so much so that I don't think Genji would exist without Snake Eyes.
Oh, that's a great point. He is totally Snake Eyes. No, but it's... Yeah.
I mean, yes. Okay.
Sure. Okay, this is the only other thing I'll say.
I'm going to drop that
and I'm not,
and walk away.
Yeah. I'm not going to pretend like we didn't watch it or we don't have... you know, violent entertainment, because of course we do, and we enjoy the American violent entertainment very much. Please don't take it away. Don't, you know, ban me from American stuff because this is half of the world the world's culture.
Yeah.
Still, it wasn't, G.I. Joe wasn't a thing that was super popular in France or Europe, I feel. And there were American TV shows and cartoons that were very popular. It's just that this one, I think, resonates a little bit more even than others with that very, I don't know how to describe it other than it's just very American.
It's just jingoistic and over the top, and it's,
yeah,
it's really, really dumb. How about He-Man? How did He-Man land in the land?
Oh, yeah. French? Now you're talking.
Okay.
He-Man.
All right.
Actually, so He-Man was called in French Musclor, which is essentially muscler. And I didn't realize he was He-Man, which is a weird name.
Musclor?
I guess like it's a He-Man, but but Musclor. Is the name of He-Man like, in France.
That's amazing.
Is this like in the US, we changed the name of Mr. Satan to Hercule in Dragon Ball Z? Is that what's going on?
A little bit, but it's more like He-Man is so means so like it means nothing in French, right? And so you have to find a way to convey.
Because you're making me think now that He-Man really, it just sounds like Scott when he can't remember the name of something.
Yeah, just make it up.
What's the he with the man, you know?
Yeah, with the deal. What's his name? He had a man in his name.
Scott trying to remember the name Malfurion. Like, yeah, He-Man is something he would say. Exactly.
So wait, did they change the music? It's so like, it would go, muscular.
Like, yeah.
Really? Oh, wow.
And Scott for Malfurion is essentially, he would say, oh, the water elf forest person. And that's what, you're right, what He-Man is.
Oh my gosh, I just found the French...
He-Man bird person. I don't know, he's got a beard.
I just found the French opening. We're going to hear this real quick. Okay. Not the French opening.
They're going to get banned.
Ready for a DMCA takedown.
Here we go. Défenseur du secret du Château des Ombres. Château.
Oh my god, this sounds so terrible, like terrible French. Depuis le jour où j'ai levé mon glaive magique en criant par le pouvoir du crâne ancestral. Je détiens la force toute puissante. Is that him saying,
oh my God, the power? Does he have the power?
I would scream that so much when I was a kid.
I'm so glad I found that. All right.
Par le pouvoir du crâne ancestral, je détiens la force toute puissante. Yeah.
Does that mean
a lot of words to say I have the power?
Yeah,
that is
a lot.
So many extra words.
No, it's by the power of it. He doesn't say like by the power of the. Essentially, in French, it means by the power of the ancestral skull, I hold the almighty power.
Really?
I was really just trying to make an ignorant American joke,
okay,
because I figured that's probably not what it means.
That's amazing. Oh, my gosh. I love it. And then you could hear in the background
that's
muscular, and they change the music. All right.
Musclor.
I'm going to go down a rabbit hole of like, what are like,
I don't even remember where we started with this.
I want to know what Shang Tsung's Your Soul is Mine is.
What is
Frostmourne Hungers in the French version of Warcraft 3?
Listen, if I've learned anything, it's that Patrick loves to dance like a monkey when I tell him to do something in French. He loves doing it. It's your favorite thing, right, Patrick?
I adore it.
Stop everything.
This is why I followed this up with, I'm going to go look it up myself instead of asking Patrick to say it for me.
So,
but there's a,
I was gonna make a point that the very first animated wiener I ever saw that wasn't my own, hubba hubba, was a French thing. So your first exposure to crappy American stuff might have been G.I. Joe. For me, it was like, what's his name? Mobius, the famous French artist Mobius, and an animated thing he did with a guy with a wiener that moved. So I remember that. That was an exciting time in my life. Thanks for that, France.
The wiener moved because the dude moved?
No, it was an animated thing.
It has its own,
he was like an ethereal blue guy. He was a guy that like floated around. I don't remember the exact animation, but somebody had animated it. And he
Something somewhat similar to Watchmen, to Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, so we give you the violence. Okay. You give us the wieners. It all balances out. Good job.
Excellent.
Mine was The Tree of Might, the Dragon Ball Z film, because that was not on TV, which means I had to like order it from some weird anime business, and that shit was uncensored. There was just Gohan wiener all over the place.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Dragon Ball has like a shit ton of nudity, man. They just edited all of it out.
I didn't know that.
Not sexy nudity, just like.
I mean, it has both, I would argue. But yeah, there's also just a lot of like nude kids because.
Yes.
Because nudity. You know? Sure. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
All right.
And all that crap was just edited out of the US version.
I had no idea. I've seen a little Dragon Ball in my time, but I've never seen.
Oh man, I'm gonna like blow your mind here, man. That like that wasn't a lollipop. It was a cigarette, and that wasn't soda. It was beer.
All right, I'm doing a incognito mode window search for Dragon. Hold on. Ball nudity.
Dragon Ball Wiener? Is that
so much fan art, man?
I just want to see. Oh, it'll be mostly fan art, won't it? Oh, yeah. That's a mistake.
You're just going to get fan art. Listen. Well, I've got an idea. We'll talk about this later.
Okay. Wow. Can't wait to hear what that idea is. All right. One more quick note. World of Warcraft Classic Summer Bowl is starting. For the first time in WoW Classic, World of Warcraft Esports presents the Summer Bowl. World of Warcraft Classic Summer Bowl is a 10v10 Warsong Gulch tournament. Begins on June 17th, so next week. Over the following 3 weekends, teams in North America and Europe will compete for a separate prize pool of $4,000 in each region. The tournament will be split into 2 regions, North America and Europe. All games will take place on live servers for WoW Classic using the recently added war game feature. So if you want to get your PvP esports on classic style, hot damn! They gotcha. So enjoy that. All right, I'm going to do something here that we haven't done before. That's because it's going to be our first time. Gamer Checks, good friend of the program, interviewed him once about classic stuff right here on the show. Has his own show as well. He does a little segment now called Classic Corner. So here it is, Classic Corner. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. It is Gamer Checks, and we are going to be doing a Classic Corner for the show, The Instance. All right, the first thing we're going to talk about today is they are increasing the spawn rate of Black Lotus and are going to add many additional possible spawn locations in each of the Black Lotus zones. With a different hotfix, they're working on making it so that a player cannot see a Black Lotus on screen or on their minimap if they're dead, unless they have herbalism at the level 300, so that is definitely an interesting change. Next on our list, Blizzard has updated their classic character transfer restrictions to add a few new realms to both EU and the US list. These restrictions have been put in place in an effort to control the population growth in the largest realms. Sorry, Herod and Whitebane. And our last news story today, and we all knew it was going to happen once you started seeing a couple, 2, 3, 4 hour queue times, is Herod and Whitebane are getting a second layer again. From a blue post, this is a step we're taking very carefully to make it so that players can enjoy playing on those realms during peak hours. It has been a very high priority for us to understand why, after we delayered the 10 realms on May 14th. Those two realms reversed the course and experienced this, while the others did not. We will continue to pay very close attention to this situation and make adjustments to the game service as necessary. As before, Herod and Whitebane remain restricted from the character transfer service. This has been the Classic Corner with Gamer Checks. I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful week. Stay classic.
Okay, and we're back. Thank you, Gamer Checks. That was awesome. Time for this. All right, other things going on in the world of Blizzard. Diablo 4 Barbarian gameplay, 20 minutes worth of it, was put up on YouTube, and it looks great. It also looks very Diablo. Like, you know, this is clearly a new engine. It's in 4K. It looks beautiful. The video's in 4K, I should say. It is very dark, very bloody. It's all the tonal changes that we expect to see out of Diablo 4 over Diablo 3, but watching the actual gameplay, you know, if you're expecting the world to change entirely about the combat, I've news for you. It's Diablo, and for me that's good, and that was a good 20 minutes well spent. Did anyone else see this footage?
I'm watching it right now.
I prepare for my podcast. That's right. Damn it. What about you, Patrick?
Well, I'm going to blow your mind. There's also a sorceress and a druid. 20 minutes.
What?
Which, I mean, so first of all, what channel is this on? Is this a leak?
I can't tell.
It's on Supercars, which it has 3,000 subs on YouTube, and is it somewhere else? I don't know. It's super weird.
That's a really good question. It doesn't feel official.
That is an extremely good question. Yeah. Why is this on the channel that it is on? Because this is, I love the channel with 3,000 subscribers, but almost 500,000 views on this video.
Yeah. And it's not anywhere else. It's not on any of the official channels. But also Blizzard hasn't taken it down. And so this is beta footage or alpha or whatever. That is not footage from BlizzCon. So I don't know.
It is super dry. Like, it's just the gameplay. And super boring, I would say. It's like it doesn't have any abilities or no, not just that. The gameplay itself, like the barbarian, it's like it has frenzy and like seismic slam,
seismic,
and that's it. And seismic slam and 20 minutes of just And it's not even very high level. It's just, you know, the beginning of Diablo is not super exciting. Like your first 10 or 20 levels mm-hmm. are not incredible. And this feels like it is level 20, maybe.
It seemed even lower than that to me. It seemed like
maybe
10
even
or something. Yeah.
And so I don't know where this is from and what it is, but it wasn't satisfactory to me. And if it is officially Blizzard, I don't understand why they did this.
It probably
like,
is
what
not.
What does it bring?
It probably is not officially Blizzard. My guess is I don't know why they haven't taken it down. I do know this, though. I have the opposite impression of you from you from the footage, because I know there's stretches in that game where, you know, not a lot of exciting things happen other than the moment-to-moment gameplay. But that's, you know, that's Diablo. So I'm in. I'm stoked. Just seeing this made me excited. It looks more polished than I thought it was from what they showed it from BlizzCon. I'm totally stoked. This hype is working on me, but I'm a sucker for Diablo, so what can I tell you? I'm screwed either way. That game is going to own my life when it finally comes out. By the way, I've not revised my 2021 prediction. I still think it comes out then. 2021. You heard it here first, everybody. Check with me.
I really hope you're right.
I really hope I'm right. I really hope I'm not wrong.
I really like Diablo. Like, the only reason I'm not still playing D3 is because they kind of just stopped making interesting stuff for D3.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I would still be playing the crap out of that game if they were giving it meaningful updates. So
just another season isn't enough for me either at the moment. But
yeah, I'm gonna play the crap out of D4.
But it's a good, bloody, chunky mess. I think the thing I like about it the most is the barbarian hits just they sound great. Like typical Blizzard stuff, right? Like really nice aesthetics. And
it will be my first max level character in D4.
Oh my lord. Really?
Love barbarians. Love them.
What other class would make you not play barbarian as your first character? Because they have only announced three, so I'm guessing we're getting at least one more.
Paladin would be hard for me to say no to.
To resist.
There will be one.
It would be difficult, but there's something about, to me, like Diablo is barbarian. Like,
yeah,
they're indistinguishable from one another. Like, I play paladins in plenty of other games, including other Blizzard games.
That's funny. For me, it's wizards and magic classes, sorcerers and stuff. That's more.
I always end up there eventually.
Yeah.
Either as my second or third alt, but yeah, I say always. Diablo 3 was like the only Diablo I really played. I played a little of two, but I never owned it myself.
Yeah, I'm all about just filling a room full of magic and destroying everything. That's my jam.
Yeah. That's just. Oh, I'm so ready for it.
Yep, me too. Hearthstone, what's going on this week? Anything cool?
So much stuff, Scott.
What? Really? Last time you said there's nothing going on. Now you're saying everything's
good
going on.
Good Lord.
Okay, tell
Jesus.
Me.
Jesus.
Break it down. What do we got?
Yesterday, they announced the Fellfire Festival. Today, it starts. Like, they're just surprise, mother effers. just kicks the door down with pirates. They're just like, we're here. I can't think of a good pirate pun. Anyway, like a multi week event stretching into July, starting today with a massive Battlegrounds update. Pirates are coming to Battlegrounds. We've talked about all of the tribes that exist within Battlegrounds, things like Murlocs, Mechs, Beasts, Demons. We've been thinking, well, what's next? Elementals? Well, maybe. Well, pirates kind of seem like the kind of thing that should exist in this. It's kind of goofy. It really hams up like the Hearthstone sense of humor. Where are the pirates? Well, here they are. We're getting three new heroes that are pirate-themed and 17 new minions added to Hearthstone Battlegrounds. On top of the fact that they are going to start rotating the minion pool, meaning like each individual game of Battlegrounds you play may not have the same minion pool as the next. Like, you might play one and Murlocs aren't in it. And then you end that one, you go to the next one and Murlocs are in, but pirates are out.
Wow.
And so, like, the whole, like, drafting strategy and everything is going to be much more unique from game to game, not just from update to update. And it's rad as hell. And unfortunately, I had a lot of work to get done today, so I haven't tried it yet. It went live, I think, at 1 p.m. my time today.
That's pretty quick. Announce it and then have it ready the next day. Crazy.
Yep. And then on June 17th, we're getting the single player, which we've all been wondering where the heck that is for Ashes of Outland, but it's coming. The whole thing is Outland themed. You're going to team up with Illidan and take the fight to Mecha Jiraxxus. Mm-hmm. The theming is ridiculous and I love it. It's all about like the demons are having a big metal festival, and you got to go kick them in the butt.
That seems like your jam to me.
Yes.
Seems like a
yes.
thing you'd like. All right.
There's free card packs up for grabs. There's golden legendaries up for grabs. There's, and this is like week over week. It keeps going. And the final update of this event is July 1st. We'll get a brand new Tavern Brawl, the last leg of the legendary quest line. There's a lot. And like, this isn't, and there's also a new expansion at some point. Like, that's still on the horizon. This isn't even an expansion announcement.
One would assume that would still be in the works. Depending on how COVID has affected things on that team. But it sounds like they're one of the least restricted teams as far as stuff goes, because they've just – either that or they were sandbagging and they just had tons of crap to push out. I don't know.
Them and Heroes. They're so random with their announcements versus things actually going live in the game. It feels very strange that we had an announcement yesterday and it hit today, so I wonder if they maybe pushed it just quietly. But – they've had other things where it's just like, and it's here, surprise. But other times they give us like 2 months notice. So I really don't know what their marketing team's like guidance is for how early they let us know about things hitting the game.
Surprise, mother effer. All right.
Basically,
Heroes of the Storm continues to be the best MOBA on the market. There's not much to say there except it's rad and it's great and everyone should play it.
Great update last week.
Yeah.
Go give it a try. Tracer got nerfed. She needed it. She was busted.
Yeah. She's still pretty great to play though. I like the new
Tracer.
Yeah. Nice changes. Overwatch. Blizzard removed the controversial hero pools from Overwatch's competitive mode. Patrick, you're our local Overwatch fan or mega fan. What does that mean?
Only person on the show playing it.
Yeah, what happened? Controversial hero pool pools.
It was very unpopular, and it got pulled away. It's like so high level stuff that I don't really care all that much. It's understandable why they wanted it, and I don't understand exactly why it was that unpopular, but yeah, essentially I don't know.
Well, it's okay. It's like, why does your mage need to keep things burning with roaring flames or whatever the hell it was called? Now I don't remember what I call it. Anyway, all right, well, that's what's happening in that world, and as always, exciting stuff. Patrick, quick time check. Are you good to go for an email, or do you need to run to DTNS?
One email.
All right, here we go. Here it comes.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right, time for a town crier. Quick email. This came to us from Shadow Thorn. He is on the Dathramar server, I believe. Shadow Thorn also sounds like a server, but it's not. Says this: hey guys, I'm behind listening and I just caught up to episode 602 where you were talking about ways you would like the engine to be improved in WoW 2. This is, of course, assuming there ever is such a thing. The one thing I would add isn't a visual change, but and wouldn't take additional processing power. I hate how a single NPC will talk over themselves sometimes. You walk up to a major story character and just as you click on him, he starts his crucial story description. Then at the same time says his generic gender/race greeting, interrupting himself and making it impossible to hear the story. It happens more often since there is so much great storytelling going on. I forgive graphical limitations easily, but this one drives me nuts. Thanks, Shadowthorn from Dathramar. It is annoying. I haven't thought about it in a while, but it happens. Sure. I have other nitpicks about stuff like that, but that's a big one.
I love this so much because that conversation was so ridiculous and grandiose, and we were talking about complete random crap that we were pulling out our butts.
Yeah.
And Patrick the whole time was just like, no, that won't work. Nope. And we went so many unrealistic places, and here Shadowthorn comes in to just be like, all I really want is to understand what the F the NPCs are saying.
Yeah.
It would be lovely. That is such a realistic ask, and I love it.
Yeah, it's a great practical desire you have there, and I'm glad you asked it. I mean, yeah, those kinds of bugs and weird things. Also, the pausing that happens with real-time cutscenes. Not even cutscenes. You're just standing there with a few NPCs, and Jaina will go, "We've got to do something about these orcs!" And then pause.
"Yes, Jaina, we do need to do a thing about the stuff. Make sure nobody clicks me or I'll talk over myself, and that's no fun."
Yeah,
Scott, if you turn whispers on in your chat option, you'll hear someone whisper a line.
Is that what it is? They've forgotten their lines? Okay.
Yeah, people think that the voice acting is done ahead of time. It's actually done in real time as people are doing the quest. So if they forget their line or like they spilled coffee on the page, it's...
That explains why I was in LA. I couldn't get lunch with Liam. He was busy doing real-time Illidan lines for all the players at the time. I see.
And that's actually why it overlaps, because, you know, if more than one person clicks on Illidan at the same time, then Liam's like, ah, crap. You know.
I just like it when you got Bane telling you a story, and if you accidentally click him, in the middle of it, he's going, the horde stands near the... What brings you here? It's like, dude, what are you saying one thing or the other thing? Let's figure it out and say the one thing. So we're with you, Shadowthorn. It's a
yes,
thing they could work on.
Yes, absolutely. I will throw in my support of Shadowthorn. Mm-hmm. Run for the White House.
For the Lighthouse. Do it.
Yeah, Shadowthorn, thank you so much for writing into the Ishnu Allah.
Ishnu Allah is right. Well done. Hey, you can send your own emails to theinstance@gmail.com. You can also use the website at theinstance.net. There's a form right there. Please do that. Before we get out of here, quick note that frenchspin.com is not only a thing, but it's full of great shows. Patrick, what's on deck this week?
As I mentioned earlier, the Phileas Club, like the name, Phileas, has some pretty interesting stuff in it. And... if you enjoy mine and Garrett's banter, strap in, because we are doing an episode of Pixels on Friday in the early wee hours of the morning. And we will be debriefing the Sony PlayStation 5 press conference.
Oh, very
presentation,
nice.
Rather. So that will be available on Friday when you wake up. So subscribe to Pixels. And you will get it. You'll be happy.
Nice.
Hopefully.
Pixels is a great podcast. It's a terrible movie. Do not get them mixed up, okay? Just do your best. Garrett over at amove.tv, what is, what's going on? What are you doing right now?
Well, you can go there for all the podcasts I do. A new WoW killer went up last week. That's the WoW show I do with Taliesin. We'll have a new Angry Chicken tomorrow, breaking down this massive update to Battlegrounds into the Nexus for Heroes of the Storm. But the thing this week I'd like to point you to is I'm still doing the short remotely videos for the Arrowhead Center at the New Mexico State University. They've asked me to do a series on working remotely. And I just finished up a three-parter with Tom Merritt, where he joined me to give some tips on how to work from home, you know, safely and securely. Anyway, my new guest is Jocelyn from the Angry Chicken. So you can go to bit.ly/remotejoss, J-O-C-E, to see the most recent video. It's about 10 minutes. It's very out of my normal wheelhouse of audio-only stuff. This is only a YouTube series, and it is only on the Arrowhead Center YouTube. So go check it out.
My favorite part are the two comments that are currently on the video. One is, loved it, by Synthes, or how do you say the name? The other one is from Jade Lang, who says, dude, what's up with your hair? I can't take you seriously. I'd say nay to that. The best hair on this show belongs to you. You have young, vibrant, full hair. You should enjoy that hair. F anybody who tells you otherwise. I want Garrett's hair. So knock it off, Jade Lang.
Listen, if you make fun of my hair, the first place my brain goes is you are jelly as fudge. So if anyone thinks that there is any thought that goes through my mind other than I don't give a shit what your opinion of my hair is, you are mistaken.
Well, I'm glad we sorted that out. All right. Thanks everybody for watching, for being here, for hanging out with us. Our website is theinstance.net. You'll find everything there. Frogpants.com for more shows like this. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Garrett, for Patrick, for all of you. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I've got an idea. We'll talk about this later.
Okay. Wow.